Dave and Dujanovic.
Let's go right on the money with the help of Business Insider. The headline is, when it comes to applying for remote jobs, you versus 4,000 other applicants inside the frenzied scramble for remote jobs.
What a nightmare.
Did I say residents or applicants? You versus 4,000 other applicants.
Yeah. The remote jobs has been so fantastic in so many different ways because you can work anywhere. You can live in Utah, but work for a New York City firm. It opens up an incredible amount of possibilities. I love that idea. What I didn't fully understand, Debbie, is by doing that, you're opening up the workforce to the entire world. And now all of a sudden, I'm not just competing against the people that live in my community or within 50 miles of the station. Now I'm competing with everybody. That's scary. Yeah,
the Brainiac in New Zealand.
Yeah. I don't want to go against that guy.
So I need you to listen to what this particular situation that Business Insider highlighted in their report. And we're going to get some great advice from an expert on how to make your resume stand out, Dave, among the 4,000 of the other applicants. So they use this example. There was a data startup that posted an opening in August, so about a month ago. It's kind of a no biggie job, you know? I mean, it's just kind of a middle of the road job. Starting salary was around 55, maybe if you had a little more experience, 70,000 a year. 2 to 4 years experience.
Okay.
So, okay, kind of standard benefits package. But it was 100% remote. And in the first week, they had 573 applicants. In the second week, they had 634 additional applicants. And by the end of the posting, there were 1,700 applicants.
Number one, careful what you ask for. Because 1,700 applicants, you could never go through that. There's no way you could, as a business owner that's looking for a kind of, like you said, a good job, not a high-paying job. How do you go through 1,700 applications?
Well, they did. And here's the problem for the vast majority of those applicants. They whittled it down to 3 lucky applicants. And the Business Insider said, the chance of getting picked as one of those 3 is 60 times worse than the odds of getting into Harvard. About twice as unlikely as catching a foul ball at a baseball game, and on par with having a birthday on February 29th. So you got to make your application stand out. How do we do that? Scott Hammond, he's a professor of management at Utah State University. You've heard his management minute on KSL News Radio. Scott, I heard it the other morning, and I knew this story was something that Dave and I wanted to talk about, learn more about. I thought, Scott's our guy. We got a Professor Hammond. How do we do this? How do our listeners make their application stand out?
Well, it is so hard because it's so stressful when you're in that point, when you need that job and you want to respond quickly, And as you go to apply, I mean, by the way, the case that you described there is not unusual, and there are a lot worse cases. A lot of times people will get online, they'll start applying, and the job will close within hours because they have more applicants than they could possibly deal with. So you have to respond quickly. And yet the other thing you have to do is tailor make that resume to the job. And the reason that's so important these days is because it's the computer that's going to kick your resume out, that's going to send you the rejection letter because you didn't have the right keywords in your resume. And so you've got to put all those keywords that are in the job description in your resume and make sure it gets out there that way. And then it's just, golly, we've heard this for years, right? It's all about who you know.
Is it really?
It's all about who you network. Yeah, it really is still that. It's that you've got to be able to have a connection with that company in some way, or know somebody, or have that magic keyword, or have a reputation that precedes you in the door. Those kind of things make all the difference.
I heard it described once, Scott, as the power of weak how do they phrase it, of weak connections. That's what it was. The power of weak connections.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, your closest family member. Sometimes that connection is somebody that you may just have had a little bit of a relationship with.
Oh, yeah. I've got to tell you the story. I do a management minute on it, but this student of mine is unemployed for 5 months, and it's so stressful. It's so hard when you have a young family and you're going through all of that, and he's applying for jobs every day and rejected every day. It moves so quickly now with the, you know, computerized world. And so he gets the perfect job in front of him. He's already been rejected for that job once when it was open before, and he thinks his chances are just nil. You know, he applies by within 6 hours, the job is closed, because they have 800 applicants within 6 hours, and he gets the automatic rejection letter. But he did something really smart. He went out and he called the people that had laid him off, and one of them had worked at this company. And he said, "Will you give him a call and tell him that I'm a good employee? You know, just give him a call for me." And sure enough, he gets after he's been rejected, he gets a call. He said, "Would you like to interview for the job?" He goes through the interview process and gets the job. One of 800, and that's, you know, because he was persistent, and it was that weak tie that you described, Dave, that he just knew somebody who'd worked there, who would put in a word, even though that was somebody who'd laid him off, you know, got him the job.
Scott, is there anything that we should be aware of? I know you said the buzzwords regarding these computer software programs that kick out resumes and you know, put us on the cutting room floor for applying for a job?
Well, everybody who's doing it knows that they're going to spend a lot of time on the cutting room floor. Nobody, as Dave put, nobody has time to look at that many resumes. And so they're going to look at maybe the first 20 or 30. They're going to look until they have a pool of 3 or 4 applicants they want to interview. And then they're going to stop going into the pile. It's not like they're picking the best 800 in the pile. They're picking the first 4 or 5 resumes they come across that are qualified. And that's really troubling to some extent, because I think we've all gotten jobs before that we weren't really qualified for, but we grew into them.
Yeah.
And those are the better employees, right?
I mean, yeah, they're the hustlers because they want to prove themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, both of you guys, I don't know, did you either of you do the radio show?
I tripped and fell into my first job here at Channel 4 News in Salt Lake City. And actually, I got that job, it was 1990, because of a connection. I worked with a producer in Phoenix when I was an associate producer and an assignment editor, a rather low-paying job. But I was a hustler because I needed to prove myself. And she referred me to the boss at KTVX here in Salt Lake City and said, "She's a really hard worker. She's not a great reporter yet, but she might get there." And he took her at her word because they had such a great working relationship when she had worked here with him in Salt Lake City. So the power of connections is huge. And it wasn't even a career long, lifelong connection for me, Scott. It was just I'd worked with her for a few months and proved myself. So yeah, you've definitely, I did trip and fall into that position. Luck had a lot to do with it.
I would say you're a better employee than the person that they might hire that's done that job 5 or 6 times. It's old hat. They're fully qualified.
Yeah,
but they're just not interested. They're not that committed to proving themselves anymore. And it's better to have somebody grow into something.
Scott Hammond, thank you for joining us. You've heard him from KSL, the Management Minute here on KSL. He's a professor of management at Utah State University. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. It's great to talk to you. Straight ahead, Dave and I have a very special report coming up this Saturday. Of course, it's Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 193rd Semi-Annual General Conference. It begins at 10 a.m. right here, broadcasting it live on KSL News Radio. And then at 1, Dave and I swoop in with a report called Dieting by Designs, Fad Trends, and the Body Image Battle, specifically looking at these newer drugs, some of them used for diabetes, but like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and people are losing a lot of weight on them as well.
You're not going to believe how many Americans have used them in just the last 3 months. Millions of new prescriptions in just the last few months.